Welcome to episode 173 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, Jen, and John. This week we read Power of Ion by Judd Winnick. And now the cast begins.
Hey, do you guys know each other?
Yeah, we've met a couple of times.
Okay, good. Yeah, like at my house, probably.
Yeah.
And we did the 100th episode together.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. We're going to have to, like... What? How many years are we coming up on? I don't even know.
Well,
a million.
Yeah, a million. It's about a million.
Because, well, we figured out last week that this show is older than David's son. So... Okay, I'll be ready to record as soon as I finish just one more turn in Civ 5.
That is such a dangerous proposition.
Just one more turn. Just one more turn, Jen. Just one more turn.
What was it? Grant and I were going to, like, go out to dinner, but then he wanted to build the Taj Mahal, and then another civilization beat him to it,
so then he had
like,
to
by one term. Turn. So what he did was he reloaded the game, like, four times until he figured out how to finagle it just so that he could get it.
Which probably took, like, an hour. Yeah.
So, how funny was it when I was at practice today and I'm like, oh man, what time is it? I gotta leave soon. I gotta go to Andy's.
Yeah, I realize I never told you that we do this over Skype now.
Yeah, I had no idea. So I was like, hey man, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to go home and change. Sorry if I smell. And you were like, what?
I was really fucking confused when I got that. I was like, are you just being weird? Like, smell you through the microphone? And then I realized you were going to come over.
Yeah.
That is important information.
Yeah, slightly. Okay, this
sword. I'm sure we could.
I'm going to explore that a little bit, and then we can record.
Don't run into barbarians.
I will fuck some barbarians up. I'm Bismarck, so I get money for fucking barbarians.
All right, so
almost like being Jon Snow.
173.
Thank you for laughing at that.
Are you up to date on the latest season?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I am.
No, I don't watch. I don't read the books.
Okay.
Not one
Neither
of those snooty people.
I read the first book and really didn't care for the writing, so it was like, nope. But I was really surprised that they accelerated events as much as they did.
Well, they gotta make shit interesting, like...
Yeah, I just thought the thing with Joffrey would happen at the very end of the season.
Ah. Well, I think if anybody else is as impatient as I am, I really just want to see the dragons murder some people in Westeros. Which I know won't happen for, like, another two seasons, at least.
Well, yeah. What I heard is he gave HBO, like, the... He's like, this is where all the characters are going to end up. Like, he knows where they're going to end up, so he gave them that. So just in case they catch up to him, it's still kind of... Or vice versa, I can't remember.
At least they can know who to give contracts to.
Yeah.
You don't hire somebody for four seasons and then kill them off in the next episode.
Yikes.
Apparently he has, like, a 200-page list of characters that he uses when he, like, drafts his novels.
That's ridiculous.
It's excessive. It's beyond excessive.
Sounds like a Fantastic Four book.
Did you not like it? Well, we can't talk about other ones. I'll listen to that. Because okay. I think I enjoyed Hickman. I'm pretty sure I did.
Hickman was... We liked it. But there's a whole lot of random shit from all over the Marvel Universe that he brings in, and I knew, like, less than a tenth of it.
Yeah, that tended to happen with, like, DC stuff, too. Like, they'd be like, oh, let's bring in Psycho Pirate. You guys remember Psycho Pirate, right?
Well,
like, no.
He was a power
Well, I know
villain.
You do, Andy.
He was a Power Girl villain and a JSA villain, so if anybody's going to know him, it's going to be me.
Yeah, I know you did, but a lot of people were like, who? Fine, it was just me. I didn't know who he was.
No, most people don't know who the hell Psycho Pirate is.
I don't know who that is.
Well, psychopath, no.
The worst part is that he's only a little bit psycho, and he's not at all pirate.
Yeah, he looks like he should be like psycho, like jester. Or he looks like a court jester.
Yeah, or like mind control jester. He should be like mind jester.
That like, yeah, but that's a terrible name.
Yeah, it's terrible. Psycho.
Psycho
pirate sounds like it should be fucking awesome. You should just get like some psychopathic pirate themed guy out there, like the Joker with like an admiral's hat. Boom, psycho pirate. But
we basically have like Sabretooth Joker in this one, so
yeah.
It's basically One Piece, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's a fucking psycho pirate. what's a good adjective? What kind of shows is it gonna be?
Can you say clusterfuck?
I could do gay.
Gay, yes.
I don't know.
I don't think we've done gay before.
I don't think so either.
We've done gay before.
Have we done a comic with a gay? We should do. Oh, Jen, we should do a series on gay characters.
Okay.
Sure. That would be very interesting.
Okay. Oh, and that's the one I can have Monica in on. Uh-huh. Shouldn't put it just gay comics in the note.
No one's gonna be offended.
what are the letters do you put on the acronym?
In my notes, I refer to the Spectre as the Halster.
The Halster.
But I misspelt it. There we go.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another ionized episode of the Atomic Pirate Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with Jen.
Hello.
And John.
Hi, everybody.
What?
It's not David this week. David had a child, so he is off rearing that child. And until he comes back, we'll have some guest hosts. So for our four-part series on Green Lanterns other than Hal Jordan, even though he shows up anyway because he's insidious like that,
yeah,
we're going to have John Pingle with us.
The part of David will be played by John Pingle.
So, John, if people want to know more about you, how can they find out, like, Twitter? Or...
Nobody wants to know more about me.
That's bull. You just told me earlier that you're in demand in the podcast world.
Oh, Andy.
Because you have two shows to do this week. I only have one.
if you want to know more about me, I guess you can follow me on Twitter. It's @TeamHate, all one word. Other than that, I don't really know what else I have to plug.
Okay. Well, then let's get into it. John, I think you're the closest thing I know, other than myself, to a Green Lantern expert.
Well,
had you ever read this or knew that Kyle Rayner was almost a god?
Yes, there was a point in time when I stopped reading comics altogether, and it was around this time. I mean, I knew who Kyle was. I had his first issue for a while. I don't know where it is. But yeah, I completely forgot that Ion was a thing. As, you know, like, the all-powerful Ion.
Yeah, and, you know, I was, like, before we decided we wanted to do this comic, we knew we wanted to do a bunch of Green Lantern comics about not Hal Jordan. So we wanted one on Kyle and one on Guy, at least. And so I Googled best Kyle Rayner stories, and almost literally nothing came up.
Well,
which is sad, because Kyle Rayner had a run of like 140 issues where he was the only Green Lantern.
Yeah, it was just him.
It was his book. And honestly, I felt slighted because Kyle Rayner was my boy. Like, he is my Lantern. I love Guy Gardner. I love him to death. I love Justice League International. I think he is the best Green Lantern, but Kyle Rayner is my boy. And so I felt, like, so hurt that nobody else remembered this or listed it. And, like, if you Google Power of Ion, it's a whole bunch of, like, technology stuff that comes up. And not this at all. And it just depresses me because I loved Kyle. Except going back and reading this, it has a lot of the things that I remembered and a lot of, like, really wonky things about it, too. I don't know. So that's my recollection of this book. And going back and reading it again, what were your guys' first impressions?
Jen, go ahead.
Okay. I feel like I've read this before, but I maybe didn't. Maybe I know I read something with Ion, and this seems to be the only bit with Ion, so I must have read this.
Oh, no. They use the name Ion again later.
Yeah, okay. He comes back. There's, like, another Green Lantern who takes over as Ion, but he doesn't seem as powerful. I don't understand. I don't
know. I've read Kyle Rayner as Ion. I know that.
Yeah, the Guardians turn Ion into, like, an honorary title. Like, you become, like, the Ion Lantern kind of a thing.
Okay, I've probably read some of that stuff. So yeah. This... I did not like it until the last issue.
You know what? I'm going to totally agree with you.
It was super hokey. Like, it was trying to be way too hip. And it's not even the plotting that I had an issue with. It was just so much of the dialogue and the art. I was just thinking, oh, God, why are they doing this through a lot of it? And I don't know, it's not like it was bad, it was just average, but the last issue was just so satisfying, so I was, I came out pleased.
Okay, and I totally know what you mean by trying to be too hip. Like, for me, the moment that sticks out is when, oh my God, Jon Stewart can walk again, it's this great big moment, and let's go dancing.
Oh my, what in the world was that? And then it's like, yeah, this was a great idea. And I'm like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
And then, they're in a disco. Like,
and then they're in what gets me too is that, it's okay, it's a stupid idea anyway. The guy's like on crutches. He's almost like paraplegic. And then
he's just cutting a rug.
And then, no, not only that, like, it shows them on the dance floor and, what's her name, Marin, is like just totally grinding up on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't work. The art completely fails here because on one panel he'll have the crutch on one arm and then I don't know where the other crutch is because he's got the other arm like up in the air and they're dancing, so the crutch is just gone. And then like the next panel the crutch is on the other arm and there's no crutch on that on the first arm. It's like, is crutch magical? I don't understand.
It almost seems like the art in the first couple it was really rushed.
The art in the last one couple were, I don't know,
I think, well, first off, when I saw that dance scene, I was like, crap, it's like the Rave in the Matrix 2, and that made me hate it. But I feel like starting issue 146, the art changed drastically. And I actually went and checked if it was by someone different, and it's the same guy.
Yeah that so, was also very confusing to me, because there is a middle issue that has a different artist.
Yeah,
it goes back to Eaglesim. Eaglesim was he was the original guy, and then Brandon Bedeau, or I don't know how to say it, he comes in for an issue, and then like Eaglesim comes back, and it looks way better. Like, I'm like, wait, what happened? And he's like, oh, my hand, just give me a break or something.
You never know. Yeah, Dale Eaglesim was the artist for most of this, the penciler anyway. Yeah,
it was just, it changed from being kind of like vaguely 90s comic art to being super 90s comic art, and it was really strange.
And some of the stuff was just really disconcerting. Usually we talk to art at the end, but we'll just put it right up in front. There's like, Kyle Rayner has like the girthiest thighs I have ever seen. And I do not mean to make that like a sexual innuendo thing, but like, his thighs are fucking massive.
He got thunder thighs.
Yeah. Yes. And it's weird because he's got like big ass thighs and tiny feet and a little waist. And it's like, did you just, what's going on here? Isn't this usually like, this is what like female characters in art normally go through. How come Kyle's going through it?
And it was also weird because as soon as I opened the first page, I went, oh boy, here we go. Because I think like in the first page, he's been like severely burned. And it looks like he's like the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
It looks like he had a tumor.
And I was like, oh my God, what happened? Like, are they
fighting Tumor Man? What the hell?
Yeah, I had no idea what was going on. I was like, what in the world happened to his back?
Yeah.
And that's when I knew we were in for great. fantastic art.
Now, the thing that got me the most, all right, like, okay, 90s art is 90s art, and you kind of have to set, like, the thunder thighs and the tiny feet and the lack of spines on the female characters. You kind of have to set that aside and consider it a product of the time. The thing that bugs me the most is the face work in this.
Yes.
Oh, everybody's faces seems like so scrunched up. I did not understand what was going on with these faces.
There's one panel where Kyle Rayner looks like a Battletoad. I was like, what is going on with this man's face right now?
Well, he spent most of the trade looking like the Situation.
Yeah. Like,
after he cut it, I understand the plot point of him cutting his hair, and I respect that, but God, the art. Just
I gotta tell you, as a fan of Kyle Rayner, and actually as a fan of this run, mostly out of nostalgia, I think, Kyle Rayner is, like, really vain. He changes costumes way more times than his... He has more costumes than anybody else in the Green Lantern Corps, far and away. And aside from that, he changes his hair all the time. And I think... It's partly that Kyle Rayner himself is a vain person, you know? Like, whenever you see him, if he's not at home, he's in that, like, tie, vest, slacks, like...
What in the world combo was that? Thing.
He's vain, and he wants to look professional, even though he's an artist. So, like, unless he's dressed down, that's how you see him, is dressed up. There's no, like, middle ground. There's no, like, Kyle Rayner in a hoodie out getting a coffee. it's like sweatpants or suit. I think that's partially his character, but I think it's also a bad side product of Kyle being a new character in a time in comics when there weren't a lot of new characters the way that he was new.
Right.
So like whenever a new artist or a new writer came in this run, they're just like, hey, it's Kyle. What's Kyle's personality? I don't know. We've only had him for like 20 issues. Cool. Let's change it drastically.
Yeah. Right.
Like whatevs, everybody. I got nothing.
Yeah, same.
So, I mean, because in this trade, he changes costumes 3 times?
He has his original one, then he has his Ion one, and then he has his...
Torchbearer. Like, we'll call it Torchbearer.
Yeah, and then he has his updated one.
Yeah, that's what the Guardians end up calling him, Torchbearer. They give him, like, an honorary title because he was basically responsible for their existing after this.
Yes, he was.
But that said, you know what? The fight with Nero, I think really displays why a lot of pencilers like working on Green Lantern titles, because you can just go fucking nutso.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Whatever you think, just fucking put it on the page. Who gives a shit? It works. It's fucking Green Lantern. especially with Kyle too, because Kyle's an artist, so it could be like anything. Like, anything you want to pull out of your ass, it works.
And I'm trying to think, that issue, because I think I wrote down, like, pages 2 and 3 when he's, is he fighting Nero? Yeah. He has the gold ring, right? Even though it's the yellow ring, right?
Yeah, Nero has the yellow ring, yeah.
Like, pages 2 and 3 of 145, I think, are just badass, because they're just battling in space.
Yeah.
And there's just all these gold and green monster characters just fighting amongst them. And it just looks really, really cool, which was, like, surprising because I think at that point...
You already knew the art was bad.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Good.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm looking at it now, and it seems much like, man, those first 2-3 issues were just... Like, what was going on? Did they just say, oh, this is a storyline, it's due tomorrow?
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the way it was. But you know what's funny is, conversely, if you look at those pages, you'll also know why colorists don't like working on Green Lantern.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Black, yellow, and green. And that's all you do. Done. Well, I don't know. Maybe they love it because you're done in, like, half the time you are with any other comic.
Probably. But it was well done in this one.
Yes. The shading's good. It's... I mean, maybe it's because it's simpler, I don't know, but I don't know.
Well, I think if it gets too simple, like we see in the really early Green Lantern comics, you see a lot of constructs and it's just these blobs of color.
Yeah.
I feel like this one it was, like, huge and epic, but still kind of, you could tell everything that was going on, and that's a common failing. So, this was actually a really high point in the art.
Yeah. And I will say, that is something that becomes a differentiator with a lot of the Green Lanterns. Like, Hal gets to be known for his lack of creativity. Like, Hal is the guy who just makes a big green fist when he, yeah. when he just punches somebody with a big green fist.
Or a hammer.
Or something. Or a hammer. Like, he's the one who's just not creative at all. And then you get Guy, who is really creative but in the worst way. Like,
yeah.
making constructs of Power Girl and Wonder Woman to serve him drinks.
Yes.
Like, it's okay, it's not really creative, but alright, bro. And then you get John Stewart, who is like, he is an architect in his daily life, and he was a Marine. And his constructs are very, they're always described as being very dense and thought out, right? So, like, think of John Stewart working in the way that, like, if Kyle Rayner wants to make a gun, he just thinks gun, and then there's a gun, and the gun shoots a green bullet. And the gun's just empty. It's just a construct of a gun, and then the bullet comes out of the gun, right? But when John Stewart makes a construct of a gun, he builds every part in the gun and makes the gun that way. If that makes any sense in how it's different.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, he actually builds the gun with his ring instead of just saying, oh, gun. And so it's really neat how it becomes a differentiator. Like, the old crappy art just becomes, well, it's just Hal's style. He's just unimaginative.
Yeah.
But then you get to the modern comics where Kyle is an artist, and you can say, fuck it, draw whatever the hell you want. Let's just say he's the imaginative Green Lantern. And it ends up working really well, like in those fight scenes with Nero.
Yes. Agreed.
Which, by the way, Jen, I'm curious, since you have sort of the smallest Green Lantern exposure of the three of us, what was your barrier to entry on this one, like with Oblivion and Nero and all of this kind of stuff in the beginning?
It wasn't so bad because I have read Emerald Twilight, where Hal Jordan murders everybody.
Yes. And I know the best comics ever.
That was really good, yeah. And I have read the parts where Hal Jordan becomes the Spectre, so that was pretty clear to me. I'm not sure how much I know about Oblivion and Nero. So, I mean, I got the gist of what they were saying about Oblivion and Parallax, like creating this amount of power,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really know the background behind that. So it was kind of a barrier to entry, but it was one I was able to ignore.
Okay. Do you know how do you know how Hal Jordan died?
Relighting the sun.
Yes. Okay. Good. Then you do. That's why there's like a green spot in the sun. It's because him.
I mean, it was kind of like, who are these people? But I feel like they gave you enough information to kind of figure out who they were.
Yeah.
Which was actually good, because sometimes comics don't give a shit. They're just like, here's this person, you know who it is.
Yeah, and you know, I think we're really going to get a contrast on this, because reading newer Green Lantern stories, there aren't really that many text boxes. It's like just time and place.
Yeah.
Or time and date. Or that's the same thing. Or like date and... No, I was going to say date and year, but that's also the same thing. I don't know. You know what I mean. It's just like...
Yes.
It's basic placement information. This is what you're... This is where you're looking at and what time you're looking at, but not who you're looking at, what the hell happened last issue, what the fuck is going on right now. Just picture. And that's what a lot of Green Lantern comics are now. That's what most comics are nowadays. We don't really have as many third-person narrators. And I gotta say, I really kind of miss it. It did a really good job of filling in gaps in this story.
Yeah. Yeah, they really don't do that a lot now.
Which, on the other side, this comic also had a lot of just, like, wall of text when you turned the page.
Yes.
There was some just, like, look at all of the words on this page.
Yeah, oh, I was like, too long, didn't read.
Oh, John Stewart and your therapy, holy crap.
Oh, my... What a filler issue. Come on.
You know, that really...
needs to be a whole book.
It felt like surprise hypnosis, because it wasn't until the very end that you learned that he, like, scheduled the hypnosis section, or session. So, yeah. It's, like, out of nowhere. He's like, where am I? And this guy... is giving off this ultimate creepster vibe, and he's like, "You've been hypnotized."
Yeah, I thought super he creepy. Drugged him or something. I was like, "Whoa, this is really weird."
And like, okay, hypnosis. Nobody in psychotherapy does hypnosis. Nobody in any kind of therapy does hypnosis. But
yeah,
like, you could have just been like, and now we're going into the theater of your mind and imagine yourself like this, and then just write like that. Like, the hypnosis is such a bullshit thing to do.
Yeah.
And it just feels, it's one of those things that, like, I think back in the late 90s, people thought hypnosis was, like, a real thing. But now it's just one of those things just like, oh, that's stupid. It just pulls you out of the experience of reading the comic. Not that you were so invested to begin with in that one.
Oh, boy.
But I don't remember Jon Stewart being so angsty.
Yeah, he was super angsty, right? I never remember him being like that.
He was always level-headed and like grounded, but not.
Yeah, maybe hard on himself, maybe a little quick to temper. Those are things I know about Jon Stewart, but like, I don't know about this. This is a lot more burden than I saw coming.
Oh yeah.
It was just the whole, like, it wasn't a puppy, was it, John? Was a bit overwhelming.
No, it was my dinner.
But, I mean, did you guys, so by the end of this then, did you feel like you got a sense of who Jon Stewart was? Did you like him at all?
He was likable. He's always been likable.
Yeah,
but
he's always been likable. It was just kind of like, oh, he had some shit he needed to get over. And that was pretty much how I took it.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, murderer!
I did like the scene of him with Fatality, taking off his shirt.
Oh.
Yeah, she.
Okay, I have notes on that.
Do you really?
Yes.
I like his glasses in that scene, those big old, like, round glasses.
She tells him it's all in its head. She tries to have sex with him, but he's like, nah. Those are my notes.
Nah.
Nah.
Well, you know, now that I think of it, for being a Kyle book, this has a couple of other Lanterns in it featured pretty prominently. Like, you get Alan Scott quite a bit,
Alan
too.
Scott! Mm-hmm.
Who I really love.
Oh, I love him in this.
I love that he calls out Kyle Rayner. Kyle's like, I always appreciated your wisdom, you're such a great teacher. And Alan's like, fuck you, I'm just old.
Yeah.
he did it so much better than Superman, though.
Yes, yes. Oh, fuck
you
Superman
know what?
In this.
Yeah, we need to talk, we'll talk about that at some point.
Sure. But I really did like Alan in this episode. He's just like, and then when Alan's daughter Jen calls him out, what does he say? He says like, "I think it's something Kyle has to do on his own," and just
yes.
like, "That's bullshit. I don't need this hero story crap." And he's like, "No, seriously, we're just gonna get in the fucking way."
Yeah,
I can't help him
best.
Up there.
that was amazing. He's like,
"That's
let's
not
just
what I meant."
Chill down here.
Like, I don't want to get up in that fight.
Yeah, he's like, are you seeing this? I don't want to go.
It's fucking Nero. That guy's insane. Are you kidding me? I'm staying here. I'm staying in Queens. Fuck that.
He says we just get in the way, and she's just crying. And then he goes, I don't want him to die either. Have faith. He will do this.
He will.
And I'm like, that's right, Alan Scott. You know.
And then we get to... So then, okay, that brings us to Jen. What did you guys think of Jen?
Why is she green?
Oh, okay, yeah, that does require some background. She's, mm-hmm. So, because Alan Scott's not a Green Lantern the way that the other Lanterns are Green Lanterns,
mm-hmm.
There's a chunk of Oa that came off of the planet, basically, that's imbued with the power that the Green Lanterns draw from. It's kind of landed on Earth like a meteorite, and Alan Scott's vision of it shaped the rock into a lantern, and it eventually, after so many years of using the lantern, and he took a piece of the lantern to forge into a ring so that he could draw from its power, and after so many years of continued use of it, the power kind of merged with his being, so to speak. And then he had kids. And so one of his I think his first kid was Todd Rice, who ended up becoming Oblivion, No. What the hell is his name?
Obsidian,
right. And then Jen is his second child, who just came out green because Green Lantern.
Okay, really?
She's not an alien?
No, she's a figment of Kyle Rayner's imagination. She's his imaginary girlfriend.
No,
I'm going to start telling people that.
She's entirely human. She was just born green, and then when she became a teenager, she manifested the same powers as Alan Scott. She can do Green Lantern things just with the energy of her body.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is super cool.
Yeah. So she's a little bit weaker than a Green Lantern, but she has none of the defects of having a ring. Like, you can't, well, until her powers got taken away, you couldn't, like, take her ring away from her or anything. It was part of her being. She never had to recharge or anything like that. So there, okay. She had her own little trade-offs involving her power, but she basically just had it internalized. Which is, I guess, why she was green. But, I mean, I don't know why Alan Scott wasn't green then.
Yeah.
Whatever. They don't exist anymore after New 52 anymore.
Comics, everybody.
Jen doesn't even exist anymore.
It's true. I'm a ghost. My main question, or not question, but like thought when reading about her, because I guess she just didn't interest me that much, was she gets dead at some point, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because she dated Kyle.
Yeah, that's the theme in Kyle's life. They all tend to die.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because I knew this was a thing. I'm pretty sure when he was first introduced, he was dating someone, but I can't remember who it was. And I was like, where'd that girl go? And then yeah. I was like, oh, she did.
It's Refrigerator Girl.
She was the original woman in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Like, literally, she dies getting stuffed into a refrigerator by major force of all fuck-ups.
Oh, well, that's like two comics in, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like,
okay,
in
yeah,
no time,
I do,
she's dead.
I do remember that. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we have to thank her because she helped launch Gail Simone's like catapult into fame.
That's true.
And that was worth something.
That's
because
true.
Gail Simone is awesome.
So yes. The woman in the refrigerator was Gail Simone's woman in a refrigerator. But no, that is like a thing with Kyle's that his girlfriends die. And I just do. There's some issue of some comic somewhere where he's like painting by a waterfall or something. It's like a full page splash, and like in the sky there's like this vignette of four dead ex-girlfriends.
Oh, no.
It's like this super tacky page, but I always remember it when I think of Kyle and his girlfriends. I need to track it down and buy the original art and put it on the wall. It's just so bad.
How 90s.
I don't even think it's 90s. I think it's from Green Lantern Corps.
Really? Because that is, like, just a very 90s theme right there.
Dead girlfriends in the sky?
Do you
it's
remember...
like diamonds in the sky.
Did you guys watch the movie Van Helsing? Like, the really bad one?
Unfortunately, yes.
Do you remember how it ended with the dead girlfriend in the sky? It's the same thing.
And he's howling, and he turns back, and it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And it's the... I was like, fuck this bullshit. What is this? Why did I watch this movie?
See, this is Kyle Rayner's legacy as well.
Yes.
But you know what? I feel like the person that we get the best insight to their person in this, which is really disappointing, is Hal Jordan. Because, we specifically picked... Like, we wanted to do a Green Lantern series that had nothing to do with Hal Jordan. And I feel like the person we got the best insight into who they are is fucking Hal Jordan.
He'll never go away, Andy.
He's dead. At this point, he's died like twice. And he's still the most important person in this comic.
Can't get rid of him. I love that he's like, hey, Kyle, some shit's gonna go down. Welp, see ya. And he's like, wait, what?
He's got shits to do. He's the left hand of God.
Yeah, he's chilling.
Which brings us to Terry.
Terry.
The gay colorist.
I have a rant.
Good, because I
would like you to go, because I think I have the same rant, but go ahead.
Okay, so first off, I appreciate the sentiment, and I think it shows something nice about Kyle as a friend. Mm-hmm. But it's so fucking stereotypical.
Yes.
It's like, my mom thought I was gay because I like Britney Spears' shoes. Like, really? Really?
You should have just worn a dress.
Yeah. Really?
Like,
and
what?
And then, The letterer. Okay, you know how comics does the emphasis bolding on random words so that yeah. you know which ones to read? That bubble was huge, and it was just like, gay, 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 gay. Like, that is what happened in that word bubble, and I was just like, oh my god, who did this? Who made this editorial decision? It's so bad. Rant over.
Wearing a dress. That was just, I was just like, what? That's so far from, like, that's such a giant leap, Kyle.
Well, that's the thing, is you read this and you think, oh my god, this, it's just so antiquated, I'm so glad we're so far. This is just, like, 13 years ago. This is in the 2000s.
Yeah.
This shit was written.
And this was, sorry, this was when Kyle was wearing, like, the three-piece suit with no shoes, and then he's like, well, see ya, and just leaves with no shoes. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
He was shoeless?
Yep, he's shoeless. I'm looking at it right that. Now.
Oh my god.
He's just like, this ugh.
Is terrible.
But like, yeah. That's...
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just gonna say, that's like one of the things with Judd Winnick as a writer, right? Like, this run had a handful of really well-known and infamous writers to it. Like, Ron Mars is really good. Ron Mars is the guy, I think, who really brought home the idea that a good comic is something where a bunch of things that seem super important happen, and then at the end of the issue, you realize everything's exactly the same. Like, that's a good comic. That's a Ron Mars comic, is things seem really fucking epic, but by the time the story's over, things are almost exactly like they were before the story started. And then you get Judd Winnick, who's kind of infamous in the comic book world. And there's a chunk of this done by Brian K. Vaughan as well that's actually really good. But the thing with Judd Winnick is exactly what you guys are talking about. Like, he put some stuff in here that, for the time, felt like were supposed to be, like, important issues getting tackled. Like, oh, there's a gay supporting character. Ooh, gay people in comics. Except then, like, it's done so bad.
Yeah, it... Like, I can see why someone would be really offended by this.
Yeah.
And it just takes it away. It's the same thing happens, and I'm going to kind of transition here, for Jon Stewart when he talks about his past as an architect.
Yeah.
And losing his job, and he's just talking normally, but then it zooms in to, like, a full panel on his face, and he's like, it's because I'm black.
Yeah, they fired him.
It's like, oh my god, this, yes, that is a social problem, but you just executed it poorly.
And it's like, there's nothing supporting that as a reader.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you were fired because you were black, maybe you weren't, I don't know, but like, the guy asks, why were you fired? Because I'm black. Okay, moving on.
Well, the thing is, he like, gives like four really good reasons there? To fire someone, and he's like, oh yeah, but it was really because I was black. And it's like, you gave all these other completely legit reasons to lay someone off. Why, where is this coming from?
Well, and I mean, you also, I would assume this comic is set in 2002, and when was he introduced as a Lantern? I can't even remember.
Oh, wow, he was the second one, I think.
So
70s? If, I wanna
if say. You think about it, let's see here. He was introduced in 72, so if you think about it, that's when he was a Lantern. If you think about it, this is the 70s, probably a little before the 70s, could still be a little, it could hold some weight, you know.
Oh, like, if
definitely
if like the storyline, like, of him being an architect and getting fired was actually written in the comics.
Well, no, and I'm saying because he was black, it could literally, you could be like, okay, like, I could see that as being like a valid reason. If you go off of when he was first introduced.
But that's the thing, is he's not drawn like a 50-year-old here.
Yeah, that's...
So, that like, when he,
all, well, I mean, when, nobody
when he,
ages.
When he says, yeah, which is fine. I mean, that's comics. You accept it and move on. Nobody ages except for Hal Jordan, and then he's reborn and de-ages. he loses the Grey Temple. But, like, if you're gonna accept that Jon Stewart got fired because he was black because it was the 70s, then he can't look like he was... Then right. he can't look 30 in 2002, because then he got fired for being black when he was 2 years old. You know, like,
wow, he was smart.
Oh man, but fuck, what was the young doctor with the blog
Duke
show?
Chelsea.
Yes.
He was Doogie Howser.
Of architecture.
Of architecture.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they could have given a throwaway line to provide some context to.
Like, and that should have been probably the bulky part, and then the other reason should have been the throwaway reason. It's because I murdered my sister.
Which, like...
What?
Like, okay, that was... Okay, that's fucked up, right? He blames himself for that, and I don't want to demean anybody out there who's listening to who happens to have accidentally killed your sister, but I feel like that's nothing compared to him destroying an entire planet. he destroyed an entire fucking planet, and that's not the trauma.
Yeah,
he killed literally millions of people. I mean, I know it wasn't his fault, but
yeah,
he killed millions of people. I don't know.
He did, but I mean.
I don't know.
I mean, they at least addressed that he forgave himself a little bit for that.
Yeah.
It was just this other random thing.
There's a puppy.
That dog was adorable, though. Can we talk about the dog for 40 minutes? It was so cute.
Yeah, I had a minor freak out when I was like, no, dead dog.
And then you're like, oh, dead girl, whatever.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, that's basically what happened.
Going back to Terry for just a second, and we were talking about how it was... I just remember this out of nowhere. We were talking about like how it was so poorly handled with his Ming-Gay and stuff. Jen, do you want to know the kicker with Judd Winnick writing Terry as a character?
Do tell.
So Judd Winnick leaves the title for a little while, and Judd Winnick eventually comes back to write Kyle Rayner as Green Lantern, and what do you think he does? He kills Terry.
No!
He kills... Terry's the victim of, like, a hate beatdown because Terry's gay.
Wait, Terry dies of hate crime?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is actually worse than Girl in the Refrigerator.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually offensive.
Yeah. It's Whoa. Really bad. It's really bad.
Well, then.
So, I mean, but, like, okay. It's like, you want to give Judd Winnick some credit for trying to, like, do something. Like, I think this is a problem with the way our society interacts with gay people, so I want to put gay people in a common medium that folks read and then have a terrible thing happens to him so they understand that it's wrong to hate beat on gay people. Like, I want to give him credit for that, but the execution of him trying to do that is just not, like, there.
See, this is the frustration, because you see it in a lot of media where we see stereotypes, whereas... At least I feel that if you just portrayed gay people like they are, as in normal people who did normal people things, instead of, like, ogling over Britney Spears' shoes or wearing dresses and such, like, it would feel way more like it was part of the comic.
Yeah.
And not some out-of-place social statement. And I'm not saying social statements don't belong in comics. You just have to do them well.
But you know what? It's funny you say that, because we're ranting on the example of it done shitty, but there is an example in this very comic of it being done well. When Jen and Kyle are having a coffee, and Terry comes by with his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle's like, oh, that's Terry and his friend. And Jen's like, they're holding hands. I'm pretty sure they're more than that. And it's just like, Kyle's saying, like, I don't want to be presumptive. Like, you know, friends hold hand. I hold Alan's hand every once in a while.
Yeah, that was excellent.
You know, like, that stuff was great. And that was actually really well written. Like, that's just they're drinking coffee, and then there's a gay kid walking down the street, and they're friends, and hi to my friend, and that must be his friend. I don't know. They're holding hands. Whatevs. Like, that's a well-done gay person-character interaction in a comic book.
Why wasn't the whole thing like that? Their heart was in the right place, but it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And I just want to backtrack like 2 seconds and say, because this is actually a point where I don't want to offend our listeners. Everything else goes. But it's not like that the way they did it was necessarily not normal or bad. It was just the fact that they've only followed the stereotype in that situation made it bad. The
definition of stereotype.
Yes.
Although I will say, reading this comic again, I distinctly remember reading this when it came out and 17-year-old me laughing his ass off about the crack that Kyle makes about, oh no, I think it's Terry says it. What should I have said?
Oh,
wow,
yeah.
Look at those boobs. I distinctly remember laughing my ass off when I was 17.
See, but the other thing about that, man, we're talking a lot about this. The other thing about that
well,
was,
I mean, it's a big thing in this comic.
The other thing about that was, is it's like they have this, you know, kind of like, just, you know, like a regular conversation about him coming out. And then he's like, wow, should I have said that? And Kyle's like, yeah, you should have. And then he goes, oh, now you tell me. So it's like they go through this whole thing where he goes, yeah, you know what? I couldn't have stayed in the closet forever. You know, it's good that this happened. But then Kyle's like, yeah, but you could have avoided it by doing this. And he's like, yeah, you're right. I should have done that, basically. And it's like, what? You just said it was a good thing, and now you're like backtrack. I don't know. It seemed a little like it seemed like they were uncomfortable writing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
You get
like,
that vibe,
definitely. We need to put this in here, but I don't know how to do it completely. I'm uncomfortable.
I think the frustrating thing is they almost did it well.
Yes.
Right? Because like the discussion about how different people do it at different times, and it's an uncomfortable topic for a lot of people. Like, sure, if you're a teenager, like, perfect sense. And I don't even know how old Terry is, but he's obviously like a teen or a young adult.
Yeah, yeah, he's still living with his parents because his dad wanted to kick him out, right?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, this is working well, but then they just got the little things wrong and it destroyed the whole thing.
Yeah. It's like Judd Winnick is really interested in gay rights, but has never met a gay person. Like, this thing happening to the gays is terrible. Do you know any gay people, Judd? No, but they like shoes, right?
So
they like shoes and wearing dresses.
I will say, it could be editorial.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it could like, be. It could be just as much
this
editorial.
This is DC we're talking about.
Yeah, that's true, too.
It's true. Wait a minute, is Kyle wearing socks in this scene? Take them off, he must be sockless!
Oh god, also, fucking censorship. When he's in that, like, white matrix loading zone as Ion.
Yeah, when he's in like, the shock of just getting all the energy.
Why is he in
he's
his
just
underwear?
Chilling in his underwear, just like, whoa. Like, he's, like, just looking to get a drink out of the refrigerator at, like, 4 a.m.
But I like how that comes back when he takes Nero to that place.
And he has clothes.
And, he brings Nero over with Nero's clothes, but he doesn't think to, like, put on a fucking t-shirt.
But Nero didn't have clothes earlier.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what is happening?
So he's like, Nero, I need to put a shirt on you, bro, if we're taking you in here to fight fisticuffs mano a mano. But me? Nah, tidy whities all the fucking way.
He wanted to have some underwear wrestling, man.
Like, whatever. I don't know. You could write that off to Kyle's vanity again. I don't know. Like, damn, I look good in my tidy whities. I'm going to fight like this. Nero's going to be so astounded by my pecs. He's just going to bow.
He's just like, fighting him in his underwear.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he was meant to be naked. Like, you know, it's just this kind of open space where it's just him.
Right.
But
no,
then
like,
they
get,
were like, no dicks.
No dicks. This is not
it's
Watchmen.
It's also funny that Hal's just not like, this is just like a normal thing for him.
I know. Like, how come Hal's
not like, buddy, can you like put shirt. Like a shirt on or something, please?
No, but okay, I get that in the beginning with the shock, he probably is supposed to be naked, but no dicks. It's a DC comic title. But then, like, that makes sense to me. Like, him having just his tidy whities there makes sense, but it makes no sense when he voluntarily goes back to that space.
Yeah.
Completely with his consciousness and brings Nero back, wearing more clothes than Nero was wearing in space, and then keeps himself naked. What are you doing, Kyle? I don't know. But so we get a sense of Kyle's personality, like, outside of his uniform, right? Like, he's really compassionate and friendly and, like, there might have been a lot of stereotypical talk with Terry, but he tries to help,
but doesn't always work.
He's real supportive. And
supportive friend, yes.
And I think he kind of says in there somewhere, like, look, if you need a place to crash, you know, like, there's a couch right here.
Yeah.
I don't know if he says that, but I could totally, like, his demeanor in that scene totally lets me go back and put that in there, even if he didn't.
Yeah.
But, like, I love the way that compassion manifests when he puts on the uniform, and especially when he becomes Ion. Because when he becomes Ion, he becomes like Oprah. He just starts handing things out like, you get to walk, and you get your powers back, and you get farmable soil.
Everybody gets their powers back!
He's just like, really? And it's like, he takes that compassion and just brings it up to the nth degree, like his powers, and just impulsively does whatever he feels like would do the most good in that moment. Like, when, like, he's talking to John, I took the blockage out yesterday.
Yeah.
Puts on the uniform and just, like, impulsively does whatever he thinks will do the most good. Like, the thing with, like, when he's talking to John, he's like, I took the blockage out yesterday.
Yeah. And then, same thing with Jade. He's like, yep, it's done.
Done.
I did it.
Just sitting here, it's done already. Energy, you know, it's kind of my thing now.
Yeah. Energy, yeah, it's kind of my
thing. He said that, like, 2 or 3 times.
He did, yes.
I'm like, we get it.
It's my thing now.
You have
it's like,
energy.
Kyle, it was always your thing. It's just now you're better at it. It's kind of my thing.
So, okay, so he has the power of how many Green Lanterns? It's like 10,000, right?
He has the power of literally all of them. Because,
oh, yeah, because they all did.
Yeah, well, when Hal Jordan... yeah, when Hal Jordan killed them all and then took... He ripped the power out of the battery to become paralyzed. So he took all of the power out of Oa and the main battery. And then Kyle's ring was forged with the energy from the Guardians who sacrificed themselves.
Yes.
So that's why Kyle's ring is self-sustained. It's not reliable upon the same power that Parallax draws from. But then Parallax sacrifices himself in the sun. So then all that power is just fucking sitting there.
Chilling in the sun.
It's just chilling. And because Kyle happens to be the closest piece of technology able to draw from that power, he slowly does so over time and becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Until he realizes he can just fucking take all of it. He can just fly up there and grab it all if he wants.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he is so slow, he figures out just the same moment that Nero does. He doesn't figure it out any sooner.
If only. We would have had 2 less comics to read.
Oh, it's because he had to contain the explosion from Graven. That's why.
Yes.
I forgot about Graven. We didn't even talk about him. Whatever, it's fine.
It's fine. That was...
Whatever.
Yeah, it was... There was some stuff in here that could have been done in, like, an issue.
Yeah.
Like, there... Oh, boy. All right, yeah.
Yeah. So then we naturally get to him becoming basically a god. Once he has all of that power from all of the lanterns, he's more or less godlike. He's at the point where Spectre can't stop him. And Spectre's power level in comics is defined as being the left hand of God. He is the hand of wrath. Come down from God. And Ion is more powerful than that at this point.
He can split himself and he can be everywhere.
Yeah.
He can undo wrongs.
And so
he can do whatever he wants.
As he does it enough times, right, like you see the moral dilemma with him like changing time and telling Hal Jordan and Spectre, like, this isn't me playing around. I actually have the power to change something and hold all the other strings. It won't unravel the way it has before when people have fucked time travel.
He tells Hal Jordan he can go, I can go back and change everything.
Yeah, and all of the future from then will happen just as you know it, except you will still be alive and Coast City will still exist. I can do that. Right? Like, he gets...
And he's like, nah, I'm cool, dude.
Yeah. Well, no, Hal's response actually makes a lot of sense. And I think this is how, like, this is what infuriates me, is in that interchange, it's supposed to be about Kyle, and we end up learning way more about Hal Jordan and his acceptance of his penance. Like, we learn so much more about Hal as a person there than we do Kyle. Kyle's just like, oh, I don't know, should I change the past?
I can do all this cool stuff now. Do you want to see?
But Kyle doesn't change his idea of his power until he talks to Superman. And Superman calls him to the side.
Okay, can we first talk about the scene where Superman's in his living room?
Yes, with nothing to do.
He's just chilling. Eye bleach.
And all he says is yep.
Yep.
Throughout that entire... And that's an exchange with Lois. And he's just chilling there with
in the bathroom.
He's just so pissed off. Because he's got nothing to do.
That was the worst art in this whole comic, I think. He and Lois were just...
Yeah.
Ugh. But yeah, I really do want to talk about Superman because...
I do too, because I actually... You go ahead first. Go.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I have a huge problem with his ethics. Because this is the whole thing Lex Luthor says. Like, you can't just go and save people because they need saving. And where do you actually draw that line? It's not like Kyle is just doling out food rations. He's giving people farmable land.
Yeah.
It's like saying that you shouldn't, I don't know, provide people with necessary means, like jobs, and equating that to just giving them handouts.
Yeah.
But there's a difference, and Superman doesn't seem to get that, and it really upsets me, because it's like, if he's such a humanitarian himself, and he's always telling Lex Luthor that, you know, it's his duty to help people, what the fuck is he doing telling Kyle Rayner this?
No, and you know what? Superman, in this scene, Superman is being a fucking asshole to all of humanity. He's basically rolling up on Kyle and saying, you have to let the peons think that they're being useful.
I disagree.
That's basically what he's saying. It's like, because
he's... No, man, he's saying people gotta live their lives, and if shit happens, shit happens. You can't go... You can't be at every... He's basically
like... He can!
But he shouldn't.
But he can! See,
but
like,
where's the line? Where do you end your humanitarian effort?
And what gets me, too, is that this comic, then, after he has a talk with Superman, and Superman says, look, you can't just go around solving everybody's problems all the time. They have to work at it and earn it and this and that and the other thing. And then Kyle goes and sees a couple of firefighters save an old woman from a building and goes, yeah, you know, maybe Superman's right. Except that is not anywhere near the same of him solving the global food shortage by making Africa farmable. That is not nearly the same thing. Not even close. It's like...
Well, okay, so the problem Look, I don't like Superman. Can we just get that out of the way? And for some reason, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think he has a point here. Because he's like, look, dude, people are starting to, like, worship you like a god. This is not, like, a good thing that is happening. Like, I think he's trying to just let him know, like, look, you have way more power than even I have. And you just need to, I don't know.
You need
I don't
to
know.
Chill the fuck out, slow down, figure out your bearings.
Because it's like, there's points in the comic where you can see Kyle, like when he tells Hal, like, I can undo all of this death, I can undo all of this. And it's like, no, don't do that. That's very weird. Like, that's not even, you know. God would undo that. If shit happens, shit happens, and people live. I feel like Superman's just saying, you gotta let people live their lives. He's not saying, like, let all those people starve. Does he actually say that?
Not exactly.
It's an implication. The problem is we get that juxtaposition of Superman and then Alan Scott and Hal Jordan, and they provide, like, a much more reasoned viewpoint where we almost get this, like, the idea of being a god or worshipped as a god seems almost secondary to Superman. Like, that's not his main concern. He just wants Kyle to let people live as they will. But that carries the implication that, like, giving people arable land is giving handouts. And there's a huge difference there. It's one thing to just, like, you know, shower them in wealth or food or something and then provide them with a means to, you know, make their own livings. And the way it's written, it seems like Superman is saying, oh, you shouldn't have done any of that. And then later he's like, oh, yeah, they're worshiping you. Here's a website.
Here's a website I made.
I feel like also... I feel like also Superman is almost unjustified in his opinion here. Because this scene starts off with them all sitting around talking about the expansion for the moon base, and then, oh my god, there's an invasion, let's all get ready and go stop the invasion, and Kyle just says, don't worry, it's done. I just went over and took care of them right now all by myself. It's fine, you guys are cool. And then that's when Superman takes him aside and tells him, you can't be godlike to human beings, except I think it's almost coming out of a place of bitterness, because Kyle just made Superman feel the way Superman makes human beings feel. Superman,
oh, I can totally see that. That
Superman,
makes
Superman in that room is useless. There is nothing Superman
They're
can do
useless.
Right now. They're all useless. Kyle can do all of their jobs at an instant better than they can. Like, they're as useless as everybody else is now. It's all Ion, and no other hero is ever going to be necessary. And I think he's almost being bitter and angry and not, like, jealous, because he doesn't have jealousy in him, but he just, like, he's coming from a place that seems almost impulsive. And I think we're given that scene of him sitting in front of the TV earlier to make us think that he's been thinking about it, but I really think he's just been pissy the entire time. And that moment in the Justice League is his catalyst when he goes, fuck this, bro, you can't do this to human beings. Except he's also talking about himself. Superman saying, you need to let me feel like I can do something useful.
And I mean, part of it is, like, you mentioned that scene where he's just sitting at home on the couch. Like, that's a very human scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
putting
him like that makes you think, oh, Superman is having human thoughts and emotions. It frames him as being more vulnerable. Whereas if he was, like, you know, in his Fortress of Solitude, stroking his chin and being like, this situation needs pondering, then we'd get more of a sense that he thought it out well. Whereas this humanity seems to point at bitterness instead.
Yeah. And I don't think he's thinking out what he's telling. Like, part of me wants to say, if people want to worship Kyle, let them. There is a church of SpongeBob SquarePants in the United States of America, for Christ's sakes.
Lol, what?
Yeah, there is a church of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Can you send me that site, please?
That literally exists. I will post that on the Tumblr when we post this episode.
Excellent, I will be joining.
If there
it's real.
If there was a person like Ion, I would worship that guy. Because that person, he might just be a man, but I know and I see him doing more good in the world. I directly see him doing more good. I would be more willing to have faith in him as God than I do in the Bible of God. Like, the God in the Bible, there's a whole bunch of shit in there I don't know about. That's, like, whatever. But I can see this guy performing miracles every day. I will worship him. That's fine. Like, part of me doesn't see a problem with a cult for Kyle Rayner as Ion. I don't see a problem with that. So when Superman just kind of tacks it on the end, I think he's being petty, and I think that goes back to maybe he is jealous, because he specifically says, like, Kyle says, you and Diana have cults. You've had them for years. And then Superman says, yeah, we've had them for years. You've only had this power for days, and already they're starting to come up. Like, that almost sounds like concern, but it also almost sounds like jealousy.
Yeah.
I really do not like Superman here. I really do not like him. I think he's being a fucking asshole, and he's being bitter, and he's trying to change Kyle to make himself more useful again, which might result in how many people dying?
Go ahead.
I was going to just say, it's like the way you give feedback matters, because you can say, you need to improve on this, or you can say, you fucking suck. And maybe they imply the same thing, but the delivery is everything in that case.
Yeah. And I'm not saying Kyle should become God. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying Superman's arguments don't make sense here. When Kyle talks to Hal, and Hal says things like, you don't know whether or not fate exists. You might have godlike power, but you aren't God.
Yeah.
Like, that argument seems thought out from a guy who's thought about it himself and his own position in relation to fate. Like, that I buy. That is good fucking solid advice to a man in Kyle's position. But the Superman spews? No. I'm having none of this. The Spectre, Hal Jordan? Yeah, Kyle, go listen to him, because that's a guy who kind of knows where you're at. Superman, I think, here is being really petty.
I disagree, but I understand your view on it.
But all that said, that scene in the JLA is fucking hilarious.
Yes, it's so funny. the elongated man's mouth is just dropped. He's like, what?
Yeah.
But I do have to say, that as much as I don't like Superman in that scene, the end result, I think, is fucking great, where Kyle goes to Oa and reignites the lantern and makes baby guardians.
Yeah, but you know what? I almost feel like he could have come to that conclusion on his own. See, that's the other thing. There wasn't anything that he did that was so out of hand that everyone needed to be like, listen, dude, you need to slow your roll here. Yeah. Like, did you ever find him doing something like, so, he said, I could do this if you wanted me to.
Well,
if you gave me permission.
He preempted John. That did happen.
Which...
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, that's here and there, but I think...
There was really nothing wrong with him to begin with.
And that was artificial. There was a remnant of a little bit of piece of the Parallax power in there that John's subconscious willpower was shaping into a problem for his spine.
Yes.
Right, so that's artificial. That's something that is put there artificially that shouldn't exist. And that can be taken out just as artificially. When you have to say, like, the destruction of Coast City might have been fate.
Yeah. But, and I think that's also kind of what Superman's saying, is maybe he believes that there is such a thing as fate and you can't change people's fate.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. Possibly. We say that he doesn't do any of these grand things, but I think the only reason he doesn't do them is because Hal doesn't want it done. Because he asks Hal, do you want this? I can make it happen right now. The same way he asked Jen, do you want your powers back? I can make it happen right now. He phrases it almost exactly the same way. I don't think Kyle gives a shit about the repercussions. I think he really does think he can bring back Coast City and bring Hal Jordan back to life, and then boom, it's done. Whatevs.
Well, I mean, I've seen other instances where people, you know, have these, like, grand powers, and they don't ask, they just do.
Yeah, they just mm-hmm. do it. That's true.
Which is not what he does. Like, I feel he could have just become Ion, he could have just, you know, went along with his life, and then he still would have gotten to the same end game.
Yeah.
Like, if he had just been like, oh, some disaster happened, he's like, oh, I saved all these people, and I gave them billions of dollars, or something. You know, if he did some grand, like, crazy thing. I never saw, like, if he started going Hal Jordan crazy, then it's kind of like, okay, maybe somebody should talk to him about his crazy god powers.
John, you know
what?
That
never really happened.
I think you stumbled upon a bit of genius there that would have been even better for this story. Because you said he's like, heal these people and give them $1 billion. Like, what if he had gone through New York City and given every homeless person in New York City $1 billion? Like, if that was his impulsive compassion, that would have been great. That would have been great yeah. in this comic, because then that would have had repercussions he couldn't control. That would have fucked the economy. And he can't fix that.
No.
That would have made Superman's point.
Yeah.
If he had done that, that would have made Superman's point. You went and you artificially helped all of these people out in a way that you didn't think out the repercussions for. And now it's fucking up other people because you're not letting the machine of humanity work the way it's supposed to.
Right.
Like,
wow.
That would have been... See, you need to write comics, John.
To the time machine.
But I especially like the ending because I think it opens up all kinds of awesome storytelling in the future after this. You know, like, with... Because now you... He's the one who's responsible for the core coming back at all.
Yes.
Right, so from here on, this continuity holds into the New 52, more or less. He is the torchbearer in the New 52. He's the one who brought them back. Right? And I love that works so well that it's kept through all of this stuff. But at the same time, I think it doesn't break Kyle Rayner Oprah. He just thinks on it. What can I do for Ganthet? What can I do for Hal that won't contradict his wishes? Because he knows the one thing Hal regrets is killing the Lanterns and destroying the core. That's one of the things that Hal regrets in his decisions, is that he had to do that in his moment of weakness. So this way, he can impulsively fix Hal's problem and help Ganthet. You get a brother and a sister, and you get a core back, and you get... Like,
yeah.
he's giving it to them the same way he gave other things back to other people. So I love that it fits the story. It comes to a nice, satisfying conclusion, but it doesn't break who Kyle Rayner is.
Mm-hmm.
I love that about this.
Are we going to talk about his dad at all? Or
oh, yeah.
We should.
His CIA dad. Who looks like
CIA dad. Who just looks, yeah.
Like a fat Mexican guy.
It's like, but my favorite is like, okay.
He looks like, he's covered in, okay,
in
we live
mustard.
In
mustard. He opens the door and he's covered in mustard. Yes.
Well, it's paint. He's a guy. He paints.
We learned
houses.
That later.
Yeah.
But at first glance.
But it was so stereotypical, like deadbeat dad, right? Like, I was making a sub. What's what? Who are you? It just says mustard all over him.
And I was so hoping, like later on, Kylo like calls him out in his mind, like in the interior monologue. I was like, I know he's lying, and I was like, oh, thank God, all this CIA bullshit's gonna not be true. And then it is.
And it turns out just... he's a true American hero.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I was really hoping he was just a fat Mexican and he was like crazy or something.
But I love that they go outside and he's like, they go to the park and he's still covered in like paint. It's just like, dude, put some clothes on. You're not that, your house looks pretty nice. You're not that hard off. Put a goddamn shirt on. A clean shirt, sir.
I think it's good that they just resolved it now, because the last thing I wanted to see was in 5 issues, Kyle having some like daddy angst.
Yeah.
So if he can just, you know, say, oh, my dad was actually a good guy, that's a good way to resolve it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I for the most part, I like the scene like after the CIA thing where they just talk, you know, and then he says he'll call him. And then you find out that he actually...
He knows.
Knows who he is.
Yeah. And
I was like, oh.
That was nice.
That was feels. Nice. It was feels. I was like, damn, yeah. All right. And then he fucking surfs back to Oa.
Yeah.
There's a panel where it looks like the Silver Surfer.
Which, no, you know
which
what?
It's funny because they fought each other in the DC Marvel crossover.
Okay, so like I said, this run of Green Lantern was my jam. I have the singles for this entire run of Green Lantern. Have you guys seen the cover for issue? Let me go through it. I think it's 143. Where he's riding on a wave of green.
Oh, mm-hmm. No, that's 40. I think it's 44.
145? 144?
Yeah, 43 is with demon wings.
145.
It's 145?
It's 145.
Yes.
He has
a surfboard.
I fucking love that cover. I don't know why, but I love that cover.
The cover art wasn't particularly bad. I thought it was all right.
Well, that was posted by Eagle.
Yes, that one is great. Look at that.
Some shit right there.
Yeah.
So anyway, the last thing I want to talk about, I don't want to say a word. I just want to ask Jen what she thought about the fight between Jen and Sonar.
I feel like that was another... It was like the gay issue and the black issue, where she's like, this is misogyny, and it was just poorly done. She sounds... I know it's, like, more quippy, so it's not as bad as the others. Like, it didn't feel as awkward, but it felt like it was thrown in there.
Yeah.
And, like, I totally understand Kyle standing there, like, watching and being like, I don't want her to get beat up, because... You generally shouldn't want your loved ones to get the crap beaten out of them, I hope.
Yeah.
So, I get that, like, that didn't bother me at all. I just, like, her whole thing about misogyny and being PC felt really 90s in a really stereotypical way.
And, you know, it didn't feel too bad to me until she kicks him in the nuts. And then all of a sudden, Kyle's like, oh, sorry about that, brother. Like... What did you get chummy with Spectre? Like, I know you guys are both dudes, and it's never cool to punch a guy in the nuts, and every guy sympathizes with another guy hitting the nuts, but he was just, like, fucking kicking the shit out of your girlfriend. I'm not gonna sympathize with that guy. You need to get punched in the nuts. Like, that felt weird to me, and that's when I was like, oh, so you didn't mean any of this PC stuff. You just kind of put it in there.
Yeah, like, I don't know if the kicking him in the nuts was supposed to be girl power. But I really hope it wasn't.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just fighting dirty.
Okay.
That's also another instance of him just observing, like, not doing anything. I mean, if everyone, it just seems so weird that everyone's like, look, man, you need to calm down. And he's like, I really haven't done anything that out of, you know, that crazy.
Yeah, because he could have ended that fight in 2 seconds.
He could have, yeah, could have ended that fight. He could have ended a lot of stuff.
That demonstrates that he already knew what Superman was trying to tell him.
Yeah.
Because that happened before that talk, and that's him directly not interfering and letting her fight. I don't know. But, you know, I think that was supposed to be a bigger thing in this comic, was him just watching everybody like Ion as Big Brother, but it never quite...
It never gets to that point.
It never gets there, because I think Kyle's not that kind of guy. He wouldn't do that.
But it's funny because
everyone thinks he'll be that kind of
guy. Yeah. Yes, they all immediately jump to that assumption, like, what, you're watching me shower?
We get it with the Civil War planet, because he does say he'll be watching them, like, all creepy, but...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. The thing is, no one else knew about that except Jen, and then, you know, so no one would be actually complaining about that, and it was maybe the only legitimate thing that anyone could complain about, and he saved millions of lives. So,
yeah.
Too bad?
Yeah. Again, just like Kyle Rayner having a religion for him, I don't have a problem with him breaking this moral whatever the hell. Like, good, you saved millions of lives. These people were fighting because they're bigoted against each other for no good fuck damn reason. Yeah. Great, make them stop, please. I don't care what you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, no problems with that at all.
He's a Green Lantern. He has a larger scope than anyone else in the JLA or anyone else in, you know, on Earth.
Yeah.
So I don't know why people are complaining when he actually does that, because it's his fucking job. He should be doing this.
All right. Well, I don't think I have anything else to say.
Baby Guardians.
Yeah, I like them.
They're cute. I like them too. I just was like, hell yeah, Kyle, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
It's a good ending.
It was, and I actually I forgot he got the costume redesign, which was, I like that one, because that's
he kept that one for a long time too.
Yeah, he had that one for a really long time. Yeah. You know what? Because I was like, oh, man, it was so hard to get through the first couple of issues. I was like, oh, my God.
And you got to slog through the John Stewart one.
Oh, jeez. An entire therapy session. Jeezy, crazy. But
literally.
Yeah. It was overall very good. It could have been, I'd say, like 2 issues shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
There was a lot of filler stuff, like... It almost felt like, were they doing something with, when they had Graven, were they doing like a cross with everybody?
Yeah.
Like all the DC comics?
A bunch of villains were getting Jokerized, and so there'd be like a Joker villain in every title.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about as bad as you would think.
Yeah. So,
because it mostly involved a lot of them just going around and cleaning up like graffiti and stupid shit like that, like we see them do. Yeah. Like, okay, they're just here having to clean up the fucking Statue of Liberty. Anyway, so what would you rate it then, John, out of a 1 to 5?
Oh, man, a 1 to 5, huh? I'm going to go with I'll go with a 3.5.
Okay.
And I would also like to say, because I didn't get to say this, I thought Hal Spector was, he was drawn very well. I always was like, damn, they got him, like, spot on. And I he was drawn wonderfully.
I really liked, like, how he had, like, the circle in his chest, and there was, like, actual, like, flame just kind of, like, jumping out of it all the time. That was fucking sick.
And his word bubbles were awesome as well.
Yeah, Spector always has the best fucking word bubbles.
But yeah, 3.5.
All right. What about you, Jen?
I'll give it a 3. It was a little better than average, and mostly because of the last issue. The main thing dragging it down for me was the first 6 issues.
Oh.
I had a lot of times where I just said out loud to no one in particular, this is so bad. And it wasn't, like, with the rage that I've encountered other things with, like Spawn. But this was so just...
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was clumsy.
Yeah, it
was clumsy in the art, and it was clumsy in the execution of a lot of the dialogue. The overall plot, I kind of liked it. Like, it doesn't bother me when we return to the status quo at the end, especially because in this case, it wouldn't have made sense for him to stay with godlike power.
Yeah.
Like, it would have toppled the universe. And it was nice that Oa was reborn like that, and the Guardians came back. That was a satisfying ending.
It was.
I was happy I read it. A 3.
Okay. I want to rate this really, really high just because of that scene with Superman and how much I hate Superman in that moment. Because, honest to God, I really like that. As much as I don't like Superman in that scene, I really like that scene because you never see Superman like that. You never see him put in that position. You always get people saying, like, I don't like Superman because he's omnipotent. He's like a god, right? Like, Superman, he can't be killed. Yeah, except there is more powerful than him out there. And this is what he's like when he has to put up with it. He turns into a giant fucking baby. people who complain about Superman for that, I want to show them this and being like, he only acts that way because he's the most powerful person in the room. When there's somebody more powerful shows up, he gets all fucking petty. So I want to rate it high for that, except most of the rest of this was really bad. Which makes me feel sorry for Kyle Rayner, because like I said, he's my boy. I've said that more than like 4 times now. So I'm pretty sure you get it.
We know. We understand. God.
Why don't you just put on a dress?
I think I'm actually just going to give it a 2.5. As satisfying as a lot of the scenes are, there's just so much, like you said, John, there's so much extra stuff in this.
Way too much extra stuff.
Which, you know, probably when I was younger and reading it month to month kept it interesting, kind of kept the story moving. But as a collected trade, as just like picking up this volume and reading this as a story about Kyle Rayner, it feels like they're grasping at straws, looking for stories that are interesting. Like, do you like Graven? Here's a story on Graven. Did you like that? No. Okay, forget him. It's fine. Forget about that. Here's a story on Sonar. Do you like Sonar? You like this kind of piece? No, forget about that. Okay, never mind. Dead puppy. Anybody? No. Forget that too. Never mind.
It's not a dead puppy. It's a dead girl. It's a dead girl. How do you feel about? Oh,
dead girls? No. Okay. What about a guy in a wheelchair with a dominatrix sitting on him? Huh? Anybody? Okay, yeah, never mind. Forget that too. It's like grasping at straws, and at the end, they get it right. But it's like you tried too many different things, and it didn't work right for me, which makes me feel sad because I did have nostalgia for this comic. It was between this and Circle of Fire, which is the one written by Brian K. Vaughan. But I felt like this one, you might get a better sense of Kyle as Oprah Winfrey. compassionate Oprah Winfrey, and I do think that's what he is like as a person in a lot of cases, and he learns from that over the years, but God, for so much of the time he's just Oprah. So next week we are going to completely change character and talk about Guy Gardner, I hope.
Yes.
So who is I love Guy Gardner too. So we're going to read Green Lantern Corps to be a Lantern. It's the first trade of the run from 2006. Clicks Green Lantern Corps 1-6, written by Dave Gibbons with art by Patrick Gleason. That's going to be some good shit. I am really looking forward to that. And if you want to know what we have coming up after that, to round out our Green Lantern series, and even what we get coming up after Green Lanterns, go to our website, which is www.apsupercast.com. You can also send us an email at John, tell us our email. Do you know it?
No.
AtomicPoweredSupercast@gmail.com.
Well, that's simple enough.
So remember that for next episode.
I will.
The other thing you can remember, actually, John, you can write this down. We have a bunch of social media stuff. It's facebook.com/APSupercast, twitter.com/APSupercast, and APSupercast.tumblr.com. That's all those. Follow all of them, whatever you got. Just, you know, if you're on all three, follow them on all three. You know, be cool. We could use more followers. And as always, please subscribe to us on
iTunes.
Yeah. All right. Until next time, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Say goodbye, John.
Bye, John.
Yeah. I know, I need to post more. I don't post at all.
There was a... When we did the 100th episode, you posted a... I can't remember what it was, a picture of. Wow, you sure have a lot of Huntress pictures.
Yeah, damn. That sounded extra creepy. I was just out of breath.
Yeah, right?